Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Good morning, friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Redemption Time broadcast. It's a joy and a privilege for me to be here, and I appreciate so much each one of you who takes time to listen. I trust the broadcast is a help and a blessing to you. Can I give you my church announcements at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle there on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, where Brother Rick Smelter is our pastor. We begin Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday morning, our morning worship at 10:45. Sunday evening at 6, Wednesday evening at 7. And then beginning September 15th, which is a Sunday, we will begin our annual camp meeting there on the grounds of the church at 1585 Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. We will have different preachers each night. I have given away my last flyer, so I don't have, I did keep one. Those preachers are as follows. On Monday the 16th, it will be Richard Kleinert and Mike Goodson. On the 17th, the Tuesday, we will be Chad Udy and Leonard Fletcher. And then on the 18th, I only have Leonard Fletcher as showing. And I'm assuming that they will choose another one from the floor or maybe someone who hasn't responded yet. And then on the 19th, it'll be Leonard Fletcher and Ricky Gravely. And then Friday night, closing us out, will be Chris Meltzer and Gary Crisp. And I know that if you'll come and join us with this camp meeting, you'll be blessed. We'll have special singers each night. I don't know which night who will be singing, but our singers all include the Rogers family, the Watson Brothers, that's a local group. The A.G. family, I believe they're out of South Carolina. The Heavenly Heirs, and of course the Joy Heirs that we have every year. And by the way, this is their last time to be with us, I guess. They are retiring at the end of this year. And I don't think we have them booked again after the camp meeting. But that's an excellent group. We've enjoyed many years with them. Just hate to see them go, but everybody has to find a place to stop when you get, it's a lot of work involved in what they do and a lot of heavy lifting. And so they're like I am. We're getting on in 9 years and we just can't do what we used to could do. But I want you to keep these things in mind. I will be bringing them to you again as we go forward and keeping them before you. Love to have you come and be with us. Well, we're going to play you a song and then we'll be back, and I believe today we may be able to finish our series on the memorials at Gilgal.
God makes toward man describes an act so precious, yet it's hard to understand. For you see, I was nothing, but he gave me everything.
Well, that was Joy Ayers singing Grace for Grace. Yes, I am glad to report to you today that there is still mercy for justice. There's still grace for every need. There's still a Savior that's standing with open arms and asking for a lost and dying world to come to Him, cast their cares upon Him, and be saved by His marvelous grace. I'm afraid we're staring down at a time in the not too distant future when it'll no longer be grace and it'll no longer be mercy for justice. It'll just be justice. This world is headed towards the time of judgment that's described in the book of Revelation. Today, friend, all you have to do to escape justice and the penalty for sin is to just simply bow your own knee or bow in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord and recognize that He died for you because you needed to be saved. Ask Him to save you and He'll do that. Now, neighbor, I can tell you that once the trumpet sounds and the church is out of here, you will not have that privilege. If, in fact, you have rejected the call during this age of grace, you will be deceived, and you will follow the Antichrist, and you will be eternally lost in hell. And the other thing about this is, it doesn't matter if you refuse to bow your knee here. The Bible says that eventually every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, friend, you can do it now and obtain mercy, miss hell, miss the tribulation period, become a child of God, and be saved by his marvelous grace. But at that day, it won't do you any good. It'll only be a confession that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and give him his rightful title and his rightful place. If you're watching anything about world events, you know what's happening to Israel. That is straight out of the book of Revelation. That's straight out of the book of Daniel. All of those things prophesied hundreds of years ago, coming to pass before our very eyes. And as we move forward, it has escalated so fast over the last 3 years that today we're looking at the very end. And I just have such a burden today for this that I've just got to take this time. I've been talking about it and pointing it out for some time. Of course, the purpose that this broadcast had to begin was to preach the message, redemption draweth nigh, the Lord come soon. And even since I started this broadcast, and it's been 6 or 7 years ago, since then things have gone so far from what it was in that day until today. We're actually seeing it unfold before our eyes, and the message that I have for the world today is you better get ready. And friend, if you're not ready, if you've not ever made preparations, if you've never confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of your sins and asked to be saved, I want to beg you, I want to plead with you. Friend, don't let this go any further. We're living in a dangerous world. The war drums are being beat loud every day. I saw this past week that the Air Force is beefing up a whole bunch of programs, getting ready for what they call conflict in the Pacific. China, North Korea, and Russia, it appears, have made a pact to possibly attack America with nuclear. Now, that's not my prophecy. That's straight off the pages of the newscasts this past week. So, friend, let me ask you this. If you died today, where would you go? Where would your soul spend eternity? I trust that you have made your calling and election sure with Jesus. If you have not, there'll never be a better time, because he said, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. There's no time like the present, and there is no guarantee there'll ever be another time. And so I want to encourage you today, friend, if you've never been saved, that you would just bow, if you where you can, bow someplace and humble your heart before God. Ask him to save you. I know that he will. Well, we'll get into today's message, and I'm going to try to finish up this series on Gilgal today. But first, let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for the broadcast and for everyone that's listening. Lord, I pray that today these words will sink deep into someone's heart. Someone, Lord, who may be fearful, doesn't know what's going on. Help them to see, Lord, that this is that which is spoken of, that you gave us a warning years ago, and we're seeing it happen before our very eyes. Lord, I pray today your blessings upon this audience, that you'll bless those that are sick and those that are fearful and those that, Lord, have things in their life that is distressing them. And, Lord, especially your children today, I pray for them that you'll encourage them. Lord, most of all today, I pray for that one that's lost, that may not be here this next week when this broadcast airs. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to that heart today. Convict them and bring them to a place of repentance that they might be saved before it's too late. Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen. Well, today I want to look at the memorial at Gilgal. Last week we were looking at the memorial of realizing the journey is not impossible, though it may seem like it. And today we want to think about the memorial of reinstatement. Two things that were reinstated there at Gilgal at the camp before they moved on to conquest that land. First one was circumcision. We already talked about that, the cutting away, the reproach being removed, and reinstating the act that God had commanded that had not been done in 40 years, and they had reinstated that. And then the other one was not only did they reinstate circumcision, but they also reinstated the Passover. They had not been able to do that either. And so we read in the book of Joshua chapter 5, verse 7 said, "And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even, in the plains of Jericho." And so we see that they reinstated the feast or the celebration, the observance of Passover. And it was a time of remembrance that they needed to praise and honor the one that had freed them. They had been freed from Egypt and had been allowed to cross the desert, the wilderness, as they called it. And now they were in the promised land with the things ahead of them to be done. But they had forgotten to do some things. They had forgotten they were redeemed by the blood of an innocent one. And forgot that they had passed from death to life. And can I go back and remind you of how they were released from prison, how they were relieved of their burden, how they were freed from their bondage? It was by the Passover lamb. They were under a penalty of death, that those firstborn who were not behind the door with the blood upon it there in Egypt. You know the story of how that God told Pharaoh, "I'm going to send one more plague on," he told Moses to tell Pharaoh that he was going to send another plague. Pharaoh would not allow his children to go. He said, "I won't let you go." And so God gave Moses very specific instructions that each family was to get a lamb, to examine that lamb and be sure that it was a perfect lamb, and to put it up and to watch it. And then on that 14th day of the month, they were to kill that lamb, and they were to sprinkle the blood upon the doorpost and on the lintel above the door. And they were to stay inside behind that blood overnight, and they were to eat that lamb as a family. If it was too big for a household, they were to have others to come in and help to eat it. But they were to do that. And the penalty for not doing that was that as the death angel passed through that night, all the firstborn of the men, the women, the children, even the cattle, the firstborn would die. And they would be dead by morning. And so we find that maybe there were people who scoffed. There were probably people who didn't think, well, what good is that going to do to sprinkle some blood on the door? But God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And today, can I say, friend, that just as the only hope that firstborn had that night was to be behind the blood on the door, the only hope that any of us have today of surviving this thing called death is if we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled upon the lintel and the doorposts of our heart, and we've been redeemed, we've been washed in His blood, our sins have been cleansed, we have given those sins to Him, and He has given us His righteousness in its place, by which we are able to stand before God, and there's no other way unless we've been to Calvary and we've been saved. And you know the story how that the next morning, all those not behind the door with the blood had died. And those that were, they walked out of the death and left Egypt. And now they had, out of the forest of sin and out of slavery, and now they have crossed over into Jordan. Crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. I say that during the wilderness journey, they were too busy grumbling and complaining and thinking about where are we going to get the next meal. Even though God had said, I'll take care of you, He said, I'll give you manna every day. He said, I'll give you enough for one day. You can not, if you gather more, it's going to rot, and it did. Gather enough for one day, and I'll give you more tomorrow. And why was it that God just wanted them together for one day? Because He wanted them to trust Him, that His word was that I will give you more tomorrow. Go ahead and get you enough for today. And you go ahead and eat that and be sustained today, and tomorrow I'll sustain you again. That was the purpose of the only giving it one day. And those that gathered two, the second half rotted before they could eat it. And then on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, they were to gather two supplies because they were not going to gather it on the Sabbath. And so that was the only day they could gather more. But now it's time for them to remember all of this and remember what God had just done for them. You know what? Once in a while, it would be good for God's people to go back to Calvary and to remember just exactly what it is that God has done for us. Remembrance, Gilgal, the place of rolling, a place for remembering. So then, last of all, it was a place of reassessment. It was a memorial for reassessment. Where I was reading there in verse number 11 of chapter 5, it said, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So we find that after they had celebrated the Passover, that the manna stopped. But it said that they ate the old corn, and that speaks of a better food, a stronger food, a moving on, a rolling on, if you would, to coincide with the name of Gilgal being the rolling. And it was time to put aside the manna and to move on to some stronger food, the old corn of the land. Can I say to you that that represents to you and I is this. And the manna is to us the milk of the word. Oh, it's suitable for the wilderness when there was nothing else, and we were baby Christians and we had to be fed with milk because we couldn't chew solid food. Just like a baby can't chew solid food, you don't give a baby a piece of steak, you give him milk. Something that his system can take and something that he can digest. And so it is when we're saved, we thrive on the milk of the Word, the basics, the basic understanding of the Word, and just realizing what God has done. But then it nourishes us and provides strength and energy, and we get to grow. And as we grow, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says we ought not to walk as men. What does that mean? That means just doing what comes natural as a natural man. Doing those things that this flesh likes to do, and living a life giving to the flesh, and maybe a baby Christian not yet learned to have the strength and the understanding to eat the strong part of the Word. But there comes a time as we grow as a Christian that we eat the old corn. We eat the fat of the land. We eat that which is strong, that which will give us more strength, that which is more grounded, help us to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and to understand more about Him than just the salvation story. Now, that is a sweet story. And if it's all we had, it's enough to get us to heaven. But if we want to be something and do something for God along the way, we need to grow out of that milk phase and grow into the meat phase and get the strong parts of the Word and take it to heart and use it to strengthen us to become strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is pretty much exhausts my thoughts on the camp at Gilgal. I am not sure what I will do next. I have several projects I'm working on. I have several messages that I could use going forward. We'll have to wait and see what the Lord leads me to do. But as we close today, let me just reiterate one more time how important it is that in this day that we live in, that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that it is imperative that sometime before you leave this world, you make that right with God. Just ask Him to forgive you. Jesus loves you. God loves you. I love you. God's people everywhere love you. They want you to be saved. So, as we close today, I got just a couple of more minutes. I may be a little short on time today. I may stop a little early, but just let me remind you one more time that we have no promise of tomorrow. And certainly as we see the time coming close that the Lord's coming back, we do not know what day that'll be. I have no prediction. Nobody knows. Nobody but the Father Himself. Even Jesus doesn't know. But we do know that it's going to happen. And we know that according to what we're seeing in the world today, that it's going to happen soon. I want to see you left behind. I have to go through the things of the tribulation that's going on. And so, friend, as we close today, I just want to pray one more time with you. And we'll be through. Probably put a song on. I don't want to throw the radio station's timing off. So we'll do something to finish the time out. Lord, I pray that You'll save someone today. Touch some heart. Open their eyes. Give them the grace of God. Save them by Your marvelous grace. I pray, Jesus, in Your name. Amen.
Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. He'll come again, but the word of God is true. He'll redeem his chosen few, so don't lose hope, for soon Christ Jesus will descend.